So, how many ready to receive the word of God today in your hearts? I want to talk to you today about church. And I want to talk to you about church being essential. How many know church is essential? What does essential mean? Essential means absolutely necessary, extremely important. I want to remind you that church is absolutely necessary. Somebody say that with me. Absolutely necessary. Say it with it, some emphasis, some attitude, some soul. Say it with me. Absolutely necessary. It's absolutely necessary. It is essential. And sometimes we can allow this society to speak into us. And society has spoken to us. They're speaking, society is speaking our, you know what, mayors and governors and council members and all these people that are making the decisions, they're saying what is important. And think about it for a minute. They're saying, yeah, this is important and that is important and all these things are important. But what strikes me is not only what is on the list, which includes, dope stores and liquor stores. How many of that's a trip out that they think that's essential? How many know from your heart, your mouth speaks? That is essential to them. But what's striking to me is not only what's on the list, but what is not on the list. And what is not on the list is churches. Those are deemed non-essential. And I would say, I would beg to differ from them. I started this last week, but I God has just put so much on my heart that it will take me several weeks to preach this. So, and every week you're going to come and you're going to learn something new and something that will help reassure you and remind you. You know, there's too many Christians that think that whether they come or whether they don't come, it's like, if I'm not doing anything, then I'll come to church. No. Where does that come from? Where does that come from? Here's where it comes from. It comes from a wrong understanding. It comes from not understanding how essential church is. Does that make sense? And so, I'm going to talk about that today and for several weeks and just remind you how essential church is, because it is essential. I saw something. Do you have that video? I saw something from one of our officials. He's not in our county, but man, I just thought, man, you guys need to hear this because I like this. You are in positions of authority. Whether you're a mom or a dad or a business owner or no matter where you're at, you're in a place of authority. And I like this guy. He's in a place of authority and he stands up and he speaks up and he recognizes church is essential. Watch this man.
Good afternoon. I'm Dan Dow, District Attorney for the County of San Luis Obispo, California. Today, I was asked by a reporter from the Tribune newspaper about a speech I gave on July 4th, Independence Day, in which I boldly stated that by the power vested in me as the district attorney for San Luis Obispo County, I declared San Luis Obispo County a sanctuary county for singing and praise in our houses of worship. Not 3 days earlier, on Wednesday, July 1st, Governor Newsom's Public Health Department issued a statement that said places of worship must discontinue singing activities. My duty and my solemn commitment as district attorney is to protect our community by enforcement of the rule of law in a way that results in justice. Inherent with my responsibility to enforce the law is the discretion that I have as the chief prosecutor to pursue only those charges that are warranted and are in the interests of justice, and to decline prosecuting cases that would not be in the interest of justice. I'm proud to tell you today, still on July 31st, 2020, I stand by that statement that I made on Independence Day. Millions and millions of Americans have valiantly and honorably served this nation in combat since the Revolutionary War. To present day, more than 1 million warriors have paid the ultimate price, and that was the cost of their life, so that you and I can enjoy the freedoms that are uniquely American. The very First Amendment to the United States Constitution guarantees to every person the liberty with respect to how we worship or practice our religious faith. And at this time, our state is letting tens of thousands of state prisoners out of prison who were convicted and sentenced for very serious crimes because we're concerned they might catch the coronavirus. It would be, in my opinion, the very definition of insanity if we simultaneously branded a person of faith as a criminal for singing in their house of worship. I believe it would be a severe injustice for my office to charge a person with a crime who has simply chosen to practice their faith by singing with their congregation. Today, in 2020, more than ever, we need more people attending their houses of worship and seeking help from the Almighty for an answer to the coronavirus. So in that spirit, I call upon people of faith in our county, all across our state and our nation and the world to please pray for peace, to pray for healing, to pray for a cure for the coronavirus that has devastated people all over the globe. May God bless this country, the United States of America, that still has a constitution that guarantees liberty and justice for all.
See, what happens if we'll just stand up for what's right? What happens if we'll just stand up for Jesus? What happens if we'll start standing up? And I'm not talking about like this man can and he has the position, but what about your position? What about your position as a father or a mother or an uncle? What about your position to just stand up and get up in the morning and say, you know what? No. It's Sunday morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm not only going to rejoice and be glad in it, but I'm going to go to church because I deem church is not something that I can choose whether, oh, maybe it's okay, or this Sunday I'll miss because I have a sniffle, or you know what, or you know, whatever. It's drizzly out, or it's too hot out, or too cold out. It's too hot to go to church, Pastor. Don't you know it's going to be 100 degrees today? It's too hot. Oh my goodness. God help you. Amen. You gotta help us, as you know what, that you know what we are. Listen, if this county is gonna get the solution, if this state's gonna get the solution, if the country's gonna get solution, it's not gonna come from unspiritual, you know what, politicians. It's gonna come from leaders in the church. You know what, that are in your homes and, you know, in your places at work, to stand up and say, I don't care what their ungodly edicts say. You know what? I care what God says, and I'm going to put him first. We are the ones who are going to lead this country to the promised land through Jesus Christ. It's not them, and we have to get our eyes off of ungodly leaders that don't have the answer anyway. Pastor, why are you so stirred up today? You know what? Chill out a little, dude. Now's not the time to chill out. Now's the time to step up to the plate. You think this whatever his position was in his county, you think he didn't catch a lot of heat for that? But let me tell you what, guess what? There's a pastor in Pico Rivera that appreciates his leadership and put him in front of you all. Amen. Well, you know, Pastor. I hear this all the time from self-righteous people who don't know the Word of God. Well, no, Pastor, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You know, Pastor, you don't have to be church to be a Christian. Listen to me. And a lot of ignorant Christians, you know what, in the back of their mind say, yeah, that's right. Well, that's funny. That's so funny because I don't see that any place in the Bible. I hear that from people. I hear that from whatever, people who call themselves Christians trying to justify the fact that they don't go to church. But I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see that from Paul. I don't see that from Peter. I don't see that from John. I don't see that in Jude. I don't see that in James. I don't see that from Jesus. I don't see it anywhere in the Old Testament, and I don't see it in the New Testament. What I do see is just the opposite. First, don't ask for these. You'll get them after if you want them, because I'm going to go by it too fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 33. When you gather together, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. When you gather together, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. When you assemble together, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. When you meet together, Luke chapter 5. When the crowd gathered together, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. When you assemble together, Acts chapter 5, all the people were coming together. Matthew chapter 18, where two or three or more are gathered in my name. Isaiah chapter 1, come let us reason together. See, the Bible doesn't say what the world says, which is my first point. The reason why church is so essential is because you get perspective in church. We are not the church alone. You are not the church of the alone. We are the church together. My first point, church is a place where you can come and get perspective. Watch this. Perspective from the Most High. Perspective from the Most High. Don't you notice? Every single time you come to this church, what are we teaching out of? We're teaching out of the Word of God. We're teaching out of God's Word. God's Word is higher. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And He's placed His thoughts in the Word of God in order that we can think higher thoughts. You get perspective. But guys, you don't just get perspective. You're getting perspective from a higher from the Most High. That's what God is called. He is the Most High. And so you get perspective, you know what, in someone who is right. How many know God is always right? It's so interesting because that's why many people hate Christians. Because we understand something. We understand that God isn't sometimes right and sometimes wrong. And we don't. You never know. You just never know what God's going to do. People say that. Again, you don't hear that from this church because God doesn't say that. You get perspective. And you get a godly perspective. I can't tell you how many times Pastor Tamara has talked to staff. And as our staff is talking to other people in the church, she tells them, make sure you're not telling them what you think. What's wrong with that? Because who cares what we think? You don't need perspective from my perspective. Because I'm about as dingy as you are. Oh, you missed a good time to say amen. That's not what you need. You need God's perspective on it. Tamara says, you know what? Make sure if you're talking to somebody, you're talking to them about the Word of God. What is the Word of God saying to their life? That's what's going to help them. And so when you come to church, what are we doing? We're praising and we're worshiping. We're fellowship. We'll talk about all that, you know, in weeks to come. But one of the main things that we do is we get perspective through the preaching of God's Word. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 44, we have it up on the screen. And they continued steadfastly. Somebody say steadfastly. Steadfastly means in a resolutely and in a firm way, unwavering manner. Do you have an unwavering commitment to church? It doesn't waver. What the weather is. It doesn't waver what the temperature is. It doesn't waver whether it's raining. It doesn't waver, you know what, when your life gets flooded with busyness. It doesn't waver because you have a lot of laundry to do. It doesn't waver because there's a boat show coming up. It just doesn't waver. Amen. That's what they were doing. There's so many people, and they say this all the time. Well, I don't know why. I don't know why. You know what? Why can't we have, you know what they had in the book of Acts? Well, it's so clear. The Bible says, you know what? If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Amen. They were steadfast. You know what? Steadfast, steadfast. They would not waver. They were committed to coming together and to listen to the apostles and the teaching of their word. They understood what they needed. Oh, my goodness, who's hearing me today? See, we got to change our minds about church. Church is too casual. Church is too, whatever. You know what? What you do? Nothing. I think I'll go to church today. Oh, my goodness, God help you. We need to be committed and understand, I can't miss church because I'm going to get a perspective. And there's so many people. There's been so much negativity towards church. And you know whose fault that is? That's y'all fault, amen? And I include myself in that. Pastor, what's wrong with church? Well, let me begin in this row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Do you understand? Could I go on? 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 16. No, 16. Do you understand? That is, and people think that. Like, I tell you what, I don't even, you know what, and that person didn't say hi to me, and that person's, you know what, wearing shorts to church, pastor had sandals, what kind of church is that? Amen. Well, take your self-righteousness home and leave it at home. Because let me tell you about the church. The church is filled with people that are jacked up. So welcome to the Jacked Up Club. Well, Pastor, who's leading this club? Who's leading this club? Well, let me say this about this club. This club is a club that recognizes that we need help. And I love that. And let me tell you why I love that. Because the Bible says that anyone who asks receives. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, see, God's not a God, He's not a punitive God. He loved you before, He loved you when you didn't even love Him. He loved Him when you were smoking marijuana in a bong. Yeah, put that in your purse and swing it. I'm just saying, He loved you back then. You know what? He knows you're going through it. But here's what He sees. He sees hearts that desire to get out of your mess. Amen. And He says, let me tell you what, I'm the one to help you. And they continued steadfast. There was this continuing. They fought through the irritation. They fought through the irritation of people. If you come here long enough, you know, trust me, one of these weeks I'll take you off. Yeah, probably this week. And if I won't, somebody else will. Because we are in the midst of a bunch of misfit people who are going through stuff, and we don't do it. We don't love perfectly. But I tell you what, I'm going to be steadfast through that. I'm not going to allow, there's so many people and they're called to a certain church and they leave because they get irritated. And the Bible says, love keeps no record of wrongs. You know what? Part of that comes out of a self-centered, egotistical, it's all about me. You know what? You offended me. Hey, grow up and welcome to a church of unperfect people. But we love God and we need His help. How many hearing what I'm saying? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is my point. In the apostles, somebody say in the apostles' doctrine. What are we teaching? We are teaching the apostles' doctrine. What is the apostles' doctrine? The apostles' doctrine was the doctrine that Jesus Christ taught them in the 3.5 years that he was with them, or 3 years that he was with them. That's what they were doing. They were just teaching, you know what? Paul said, follow me as I'm a follower of Christ. Paul says, in him I live and move and have my being. Guys, I don't have any doctrine to teach you. There's no Drew's doctrine. And there wasn't really the apostles' doctrine. All the apostles' doctrine was Jesus' doctrine. And we do have that. And we will teach that. Acts, again, watch. See, why am I teaching you perspective from a higher reality? Because God is the Most High. I'm teaching out of his word. This is Acts chapter 4, or chapter 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread in prayers. Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Verse 44. Now all the believers were together and had all things in common. Verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them to all men, and every man had need. Now look at verse 46. So continually daily, with one accord in the what? Temple. What's that? That's church. They were steadfastly committed to going to church. They went to church every day. See, here's what the Bible says. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. But if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. We need bountiful understanding from the Word of God, and not listen. Not just the Word of God, and I say this with a bit of intrepidation, but I say this thinking that you'll understand the reality of God's order in his kingdom. In Ephesians, the Bible says that God gives some to be pastors and teachers. Jesus himself gives some to be pastors and teachers. Listen, you cannot self-anoint yourself as a pastor, as a teacher. I appreciated the Four Square School and the Four Square denomination and the Four Square School, which I graduated, because I think they had a really good idea. I don't know why that happens, but whatever. I think they had a really good idea. I think they understood that a four-year degree at Life Bible College, you know what, really wasn't jack. It wasn't. All it was a gist of, and I'm not saying that I didn't learn some valuable information at Bible school, but what they recognize is all we've done is filled these students' heads with a bunch of stuff. They ordained no, after graduating from Life, they would not ordain you. And I say amen to that. Because reading a bunch of books does, you know, Jesus himself, Ephesians says, Jesus doesn't come and go, whoa, trip out. You took 8 online Bible classes. Whoa, you are anointed. He recognizes that's not what brings the anointing. That's not what brings the calling. Jesus himself calls some. I don't understand it. You know, you could ask Hazel. Hazel, she'll be gracious. Because she is, you know, talk about my fan club. Hazel is one of the number one, well, my wife's number one, but Hazel's right behind her in my fan club. Amen. Peter says he's number 3. I appreciate that, Peter. But here's my point. My point is, she, you know, she's going to be gracious. But the point is, I don't think Hazel, when I was a teenager or in the 8th grade or in the 7th grade or whatever, and I'm, you know what, hanging out here because, you know, y'all know I had a drug problem, right? You know what, my parents drugged me to church every time it was. Good one. But the truth, I wasn't, you know what? I mean, especially, you know what? There were years that I was like, you know, I don't think Hazel, you know, Aline, I don't think Aline, you know, I was in an Aline Sunday school class. You know what I mean? I think Aline was saying, why does he show up? He doesn't pay attention to anything I say. Right? But I think the four square had it right. They were waiting to see if these graduates who had survived 4 years at Bible college to see, you know what, were they willing to serve at the local church? See, that's a whole different story. See, the question is, the understanding is that as they saw that, they didn't, like Pastor Vegas, you know, we didn't think, oh, you know what, what are we going to do? You know, we only have three pastors. Our church is growing. We got to get another pastor. We didn't think that. It's like, oh, me, you know, Pastor Tamara and Pastor Paul, you know, hey, you know what, we need another pastor. You know what I mean? Oh, let's see. Well, you know, Pastor, Vegas, she ain't doing anything. Let's make her pastor, you know. Right? That's not what we did. We didn't make Pastor Vegas a pastor. Jesus made Pastor Vegas a pastor. All we did was recognize the anointing that was on her. Does that make sense? Are you hearing me? Well, what does that have to do, Pastor? Did you spiderweb somewhere? No. Let me come back to the point. The point is, these people are sitting at the apostles' feet. See, we have become such a island of ourself. We're going to talk about it in a minute. About how isolation, you know what? We think we read four chapters in the Bible. We, you know, we do a correspondence course of, you know what, the power of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden we don't understand. A correspondence course of the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't detach you from God's ordained order of anointing. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor, you worked at Albertsons for 25 years. What do you know? Hey, I don't know. I don't know why he did it. But here's what I know. That I'm called to be a pastor. And I know that, you know what? Nobody at Life Bible College called me into that calling. Jesus Christ called me into that calling. And listen, you can make fun of it. You can make it casual. You can think, oh, you know what? Like I heard one person say one time, well, you know what? We're all the same. What Bible are you reading? It is one of my points. You come to church and you're going to get Bible perspective. God loves us all, but we are not all the same. There are some, and see, this isn't even taught. Because most pastors don't have the gumption to teach the Word of God. Yeah. I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth. The truth is, you know what? There are things that you need to come and you need to hear perspective from the one that God has put over you. Yeah. Nobody's over me. That's your problem. That's your problem. No. I'll say it quite humbly, but I got to be honest with you. Nope. God has called people, and they understood. These men and women understood the anointing that was on the apostles, and they got underneath their teaching. Amen. Smart. Muy inteligente. Very quickly. Look at, somebody say perspective. Somebody say godly perspective. Very quickly, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. You have heard, this is Jesus, you have heard that it said, wait, water break. You have heard it said, to those of old, you should not commit adultery. See, that's what the old school said. How many know God has a new school? How many know God has a higher calling for us? But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman and to lust at her has already committed adultery in his heart. See, do you see the different perspective? Wait a minute. See, watch this. You're walking in a lack of understanding, and it's gonna jack up your marriage. You say, oh, Pastor, I'm not even married yet. I know, but with that wrong understanding, you're gonna go into your marriage and you're gonna hurt your wife terribly because you have listened to the world. And you come into church and we're teaching from the Word of God, and you'll hear me quote the Word of God that says, hey guys, you know what? Get it together. We need to not lust in our heart for anyone. Amen. If you're married, your wife is the one that you rock and roll. Come on, you can say, he's like, do I say amen to that? I don't even know what to say. You can say amen to that. But anyone else, you don't. Not even thoughts, not even looking. Now, what's the next ungodly thought that comes in? Well,
your pastor, that's unrealistic. You're crazy.
No, what's that? That's the world mentality. That's why we come to church. Church is essential. Why? Because you got to change your mind to a higher way of thinking. Listen, your relationship with your wife, it can soar once you start to tackle this and get this understood. Amen. You start just looking at your woman only, and everything will change. Your relationship. Listen, God has plans for you. They're higher plans. But they have to be based on higher thoughts. His thoughts. Thoughts that you'll get perspective from by coming to church. Amen. So what will I do? And you know what? Because you're sitting there. I'm not prophetically speaking to you. But you'll be sitting there and thinking, but Pastor, and it's an understandable thought, but Pastor, isn't that like unrealistic? Huh? Well, let me help you out, brother, because you're at church. And church is essential. Why? Because at church, you start to think, you get a perspective from a higher perspective. Let me help you out. And Jesus looked at them and said to them, these are people, these are men. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I'll look at you and you say, guys, no. When you were on your own by yourself, yeah, it wasn't possible. But now you have the Holy Spirit poured in your heart. You and God can do this together. It's not impossible. Romans, do you not know? See, I'm giving you perspective. Guys, don't you know? Well, guys, listen to me. Don't you know? You're in control of this. Pastor, what are you talking about? I'll help you. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know to whom you present yourself slaves to obey? You are the one slaves whom you obey, whether to sin leading to death or to obedience leading to righteousness. You know what Robert Morris it says? If you don't look, you don't lust. Pastor, what do? Here, let me help you out. Here's what you do. God gave you this thing, very helpful. It's called your neck. All you have to do is look away. Here, you want me to give you a faster one than your neck? It's called your eyes. I can close my eyes faster than I can turn my neck. Ooh, Pastor, sounds like you. Been working on it a little bit. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And shut your eyes like that. If you're driving, that's a different subject. Don't do that, but. First Peter says, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy. See, it's a commandment. God is commanding you. He never commands you to do something that you cannot do. That's a wrong mentality. I can't. That's a worldly mentality. But you come to church and you start to hear this. Is this making sense? Let me give you another one real quick. You know, let me give you another one. Worldview. That most Christians have this worldview. Well, Pastor, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget it. Can I be real with somebody? See, that's what you get from church. You get a real perspective. You get somebody's going to tell you the truth according to the Word of God. That is just a bunch of hooey. You know what that is? It's a smokescreen for you to be self-righteous, to think you've forgiven them, when the truth is you really never forgave them. How many understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, I'll forgive them. No, you won't. That's why you won't forget it. You won't forget it because you keep on going over. Well, you did this and you did that and you did it. Calm down. Right? Is that not right? Calm down. See, that's a world mentality. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Again, the Word of God, where do you get that? You don't get that at 7-Eleven. You don't get that by watching TV. No. We need to turn the TV off way, way, way more because we keep on getting the world perspective. Church is essential. Somebody say, church is essential. Church is essential. Love does not dishonor others. It does not self-seek itself. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Amen. See, you're confronted. How many ever come to church? You're minding your own business. You come to church, you're like, man, I don't know what is going on with Pastor, but he's reading my mail because he fully busted me. Raise your hand if you've come to church sometime, not partially, not kind of, but just like right in the center, boom. Raise your hand if that's you. Pastor, how did you know? I mean, no, God has a way through his word. He can raise up fish and loaves and bless it and feed everyone. The Holy Spirit can, you know what, can convict you while he's convicting you, while he's convicting you, all in the same 45 minutes. Where does that happen? It happens at church. Why? Because church is essential. Church is essential. Number one, we come to church, it's so essential because we get a perspective from a higher source. I'm talking about Jesus Christ and his word. Number two, we come to church because we are all better together. If you don't have to turn there, but I'll just read it to you at that first passage in Acts says, you know what, that they continue to steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We talked about that. And in fellowship. Say simply say, and in fellowship. We are better together. We are one body in Jesus Christ. Say, I'm one body. Romans chapter 12, verse 25 says, So we being many. How many know we are many? We are so individualized. We are many and we're individuals. You know what? Candace is not Angel, and Angel is not Candace. Crazy world that wants to say, oh, there's, you know what? It's whatever you say you are. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculousness. It's absolutely ridiculousness. I am going to declare, oh my goodness, God help you. Candace is not Angel, and Angel is not Candace. Who is the woman who wrote the sorcery books? What are the sorcery books? Harry Potter books. What's her name? J.K. Rowling's? So J.K. Rowling's is just like, you know, she was like so woke until she was willing to say that a male is different than a female. Whoa, shocker. And she just got just lit up on the internet. Hey, I like church because we can talk about things that are real. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Listen, you know, there's, anyway, this stuff is just getting crazier and crazier. And no, you are, you know what? You are made in God's image and God made you the way he wanted to make you. He is the one who makes us. We are not the ones who make ourselves. That's an idol that we have created. And see, somebody's got to stand up. The church, where does the church get all this information? The church gets all this information. One of the main ways it gets that information is coming to church and having a godly man or godly woman that God has placed over them to teach them the truth. Through the word of God, and that you get in church. That you do not get in the liquor store, that you don't get it at Puff Puff marijuana store. You just, you know what, you don't get that at Lowe's or you don't get that at Costco. And you know what, I tell you what, the most essential place in right now is the church. Are you kidding me? You don't need a paintbrush. You don't need another hot dog. Come on, somebody. Pastor, you're preaching to yourself. Amen. 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 The reality is we need God. We need his perspective. And we need each other. We need each other. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wise judgment. See, these. Listen to me, listen, and I'm going to be strong, but I need to be strong because you guys need to recognize these people a mile away. They come into the church, they float on in, ooh, I'm here, you know what, ooh, go to this church this day and go to that church that day and, you know what, go to no church, you know what, most of the time. Ooh. Amen? Because after all, I got a great relationship with God. It's just me and God, and that's all you need. You know, church don't make you a Christian. Oh my goodness. This, listen to me. This is foolishness, and it needs to be recognized as the foolish talk that it is. Because let me tell you what the word says. Where do you get that perspective? You get that perspective in church from a pastor that you're called to sit under. Look at this. Look at this. Romans. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. We are individual members, but we're individual members of one body. Do you understand? The hand is not the foot, but the hand and the foot are one body together. Does that make sense? You ever had your foot go to sleep? Try to, you know, you try to get it, you're like, oh, I'm going to get up. You know, you get up, you're like, you know, you fall on your face. Why? Because you need your foot. Does that make sense? Yes, I'm not saying this. I thank God that Candace is Candace and Angel is Angel. And we need them both, but we don't need them both on their own, doing their own thing. Can I tell you what a lot of that is about? Oh, thank you, Jesus, you came to church today. You know what a bunch of that is? It's about becoming a legend in your own mind. And here's the reality. You don't want any perspective. Just like, oh, I'm right about this. And I'm right about that. And I'm right about that too. And pretty soon, you're right about everything. And you don't need any other buddy telling you what to do. Because it's just, and here's the deceptive. Here's where you lost it. It's just you and God. There is no such thing as you and God. There is no such thing as just you and God. Guys, listen to me. You're going to get to heaven, and you're going to see, probably by that time, billions of believers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let me tell you where this comes from. It comes from, again, a self-righteous attitude that you don't need nobody else. Oh, you selfish, righteous, ugly thing. This is ugly. It needs to be said. This is ugly. And it's couched in righteousness. I was talking to somebody the other day. They're going through something, and really, they're just going through. Has anybody had a hard situation at home? Difficult situations at home? And he was just going through. He called me the other day, and you know what? And he said, you know, Pastor, you have some time? I said, yeah, sure, absolutely, I have some time. So I called him back, and we talked. And as I was talking to him with this situation, I said to him this. I said, and see, here's the thing. There is anointing. See, this sounds so self-righteous for me to say. It sounds so self-serving. Paul said this. He said, you have many teachers, but you don't have many fathers. And I've learned. I was part of a church for a little while that they didn't honor the elders, and they didn't honor the eldest elder, which is the senior pastor. And it hurt the church immensely. And when Tamara and I came in here, we had taken over a church that they... There was people like Hazel who absolutely adored my dad and my mom and were gracious and honored them all the days that she was here. And there were several people like Beth and so many other people that you know. But then there were some other people in the church, and God blessed their hearts, because I'm not saying they didn't love Jesus. They just hadn't been trained. My dad didn't train people that way. My dad didn't train people that way. But I do. I honor my position. And I'm going to say in this church, you know what? We're going to honor the pastors in this church. Amen. Even to the point where I will say, you know what? And predominantly, we will honor our senior pastors. Amen. If we don't honor our senior pastors, you know what? How in the world are we supposed to honor any of the other pastors? And it's a mess. And I'm not saying that I know more than him, this person that I was talking to. You know what? Because he's a godly man and knows all kinds of stuff. You know what? But it was in this conversation. And in this conversation, here's what came out of my mouth. I said, you know what? Sometimes it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. And as soon as I said that, I could tell, it was like in my spirit, before he even responded, in my spirit, I was like, I hope he hears that. And then later on, you know what, we talked, and he said, Pastor, that was absolutely, you know what, exactly. See, could it be that you can't do it by yourself? And could it be that God knows that, and he's placed somebody very imperfect, but somebody with a good heart that in his system. Listen, if you can only be ministered to by Jesus, what Jesus lets all kinds of people minister all the time that are imperfect. You got a whole book full of it. Moses and Aaron and you know what, and David, you know, on and Peter and Paul and John and on and on and on and on and on. godly men that God used in a mighty way to minister to other people. We are better together. And that's not, listen to me, and that's not just conversations with you. I've had people in the church who talked to Tyler and said, man, that's meant. Tyler has ministered to me the last 3 weeks. Just, man, God is using him to speak to me about all kinds of things. I'm like, yeah, that's right, man. He's not preaching to me. We're just talking. I said this and I believe this. And I not knowing that we would be outside, you know, having service. But I believe this. I believe at some point we'll be back inside. You know what? We'll be under the air conditioning and we'll come out here and there'll be barbecued, hamburgers, and we're gonna be here and more ministry will take place out here than will take place in there. And it will take place as you are eating tacos. And eating, you know what, whatever, burritos or whatever we make, and you're sitting together and you're just iron sharpening iron. Because we're in this thing together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Not all. Some people have figured out that they're too busy to come to church. They already got it. They don't come. You look at somebody who, you know, I mean, go to the bowling alley. Is the bowling alley essential? I don't know. But my point is, before, if the bowling alley was open, you could go to the bowling alley and there would be people and they're just work. They're just bowling and bowling and bowling and bowling. You can go to the golf range and there'll people who just, there'll be people and they're just hitting ball after ball after ball. You know what they're doing? They're working on their game. We need to come to church and we need to work on our game. Look at this. Not forsaking this of ourselves together as a manner of some. You know why? Because you want to work on your marriage. You want to work as being a father or a mother or a son or a businessman or whatever. And you know the world don't have the answer. The church has the answer. Your pastor has the answer through the word of God. Am I making sense? That's your manner. But exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another. Somebody say one another. It's not just me preaching. It's you back there and over there and over here and over there. When we say you are dismissed, and all of a sudden you have these conversations and you get ministered to in these conversations. How many hearing what I'm saying? It's interesting as you not only look at that portion, but what I've teach you, look above and look below. And if you look above, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Then it says, not forsaking together. Let us consider, we're stirring up love and good works. The other last week when I pointed out Dee and Anthony, and I pointed out Edgar, what am I doing? I'm stirring up good works in you. I'm wanting you to look at people who are rocketing and making it happen and laying down their lives that things would happen in this church. And I'm saying, hey, I'm subtly saying, hey, let's make sure, you know what, I want to exalt them and say I'm proud of them and I'm appreciative of what they're doing. But I'm also saying something to everybody else. And you know what it is? It's, hey, act like Edgar. Don't care just about, you know what, have a willingness to come down and look at the church and saying, hey, I've got some abilities. Where can I help? Do you understand that? I'm pointing him out because what am I doing? We're together. It's right before it says that. It says that you and I would stir up these acts of love and caring for each other. That doesn't take place at Der Wiener Schnitzel. I know it's essential, but it doesn't take place there. Church is essential. And then let me go below it. We go above, now let's go below. Look at this. This is so interesting. Let me go to 25. Do not seek the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now look at this next verse. Or if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, we no longer remains a sacrifice of sin. Are you kidding me? Do we need to be reminded that as Christians, we have not been saved to just do whatever we feel like doing? Perversion of grace. We need to understand that. We have been saved. Grace is sets us free to live in holiness, not to live in unrighteousness. And if you continue to live in unrighteousness, the Bible says, right after it says, don't forsake the gathering of the brethren, right after that it says, hey, you and I need to be reminded that if you just keep on sinning willfully, there no longer remains a way of repentance to you. I don't want to misquote it. No longer remains the sacrifice of sin.
Pastor, that must be in the Old Testament. That's just Old Testament.
Well, excuse me. Last time I looked, Hebrews was in the New Testament. See, where do you get reminded of that? You get that reminded of that from your pastor who loves you. All your friends aren't giving you that perspective. All your friends are saying, are you kidding me? You know what? Weed is okay now. Haven't you? Don't you know the law? Or whatever. You know, your friends are saying, you know, are you kidding me? If that was my husband, I would have kicked him out a long time ago. See, wrong perspective. You don't need that perspective. You need a godly perspective. That is a low perspective. And if you keep on listening, you know what? Don't be deceived. Keep on hanging out with those goofballs. You don't love those goofballs? I love those goofballs. Invite them to church that they would get perspective, because we all need perspective. Listen, we are not better than they are. Jesus died for them just like Jesus died for us. But wake up and smell the coffee and stop thinking that you're going to listen to what they say and you're going to walk in wisdom. You're not going to walk in wisdom. Surround yourself amongst foolish people and listen to what they say. Guess what? You're going to be foolish. Why? Because you're going to start to think foolishly. Amen. How many are still glad you came today? Amen. Somebody say, church is essential. Church. Somebody say, church is essential. Okay, why? Because when you come to church, you're going to be under the pastor that God has called you to. You're going to listen to his word, and it's going to rock your world. You're going to say, oh my goodness, I was thinking wrong. I almost was going to do something so stupid. I'm asking how many of you were about to do something stupid, and you came to church, and God straightened you out through the preaching of God's word. Amen. Raise your hand if that's you. Raise your hand high if that's you. You know what? You're about to do something foolish. You're about to do something stupid. How many know sometimes just a couple of stupid things can mess you up for years and years and years? See, church is essential. Church is essential. Amen. We have a good church. Tamara, did you have something to share? Okay. All right. If you're not in the family of God, or you're not sure, if you're not sure if you're in the family of God, then you're probably not in the family of God. I don't say that to be manipulative. I just say, let's make sure. Or you know you're not in the family of God. So, Pastor, how do I get in the family of God? Ask Jesus into your heart. Well, how do I do that? Just repeat this prayer. Here, it's deep. Here's what I'm going to say in a minute. Jesus, come in my heart. Pastor, can you explain what happens? No, I really can't. But I can say he loves you and he died for you and he wants to take away all your sin. And all he needs is your permission to let him in your heart. He'll change you from the inside out. How he does it, I don't know, but it's supernatural and it's awesome and it's real. And it takes you humbling out and stepping out in faith and doing something that might not seem like, you know, it might not make sense to you, but you know inside here that's what God wants you to do. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, pray this with me. Jesus, come in my heart. Right now, change me from the inside out. I want to be a Christian. I don't understand it all, but I know you're speaking to me. Help me. I believe in you. I believe in your Son, that he died on the cross. Take away all my sin in Jesus' name. Now, if you said that, this is your spiritual birthday. I want to be your pastor. I think probably you don't have a pastor. I want to be your pastor. Hang out with me for a year. Let me continually teach you the word of God and watch what will happen. I want to be your pastor. God wants to raise you up. God has incredible things right in front of you. But you have to start caring about your life spiritually. You've cared about all kinds of areas in your life, but you haven't cared about your spiritual development. That's what took place today. You got born again. Now you need a pastor, and I want to be that pastor. Give me a year and watch what will happen. For anybody else who maybe you've come to church every week for the last month, but church has been way too casual to you and you've been convicted, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you right now. Yes, all over the room. Father, allow this message to seep in our hearts. May we be like that government official, bold to say church is essential. And for the casualness that we've treated church, we repent. In Jesus' name, we pray.